1:02, 6:20 p.m., January 13th.
Look, Jim Jowd, you motherfucker. Goddamn Dan Moore, the law enforcement community's got your number. We're waiting on your motherfucking ass. Just come on, you little big bad son of a bitch.
End of messages.
This is Jim Giles, and you're listening to Radio Free Mississippi. The title of this broadcast will be, Who Was Richard Barrett? It is a busy news day. There are a lot of things happening out there. In addition to the war and the collapsing U.S. economy, in addition to our corrupt government, on top of those major ongoing events, that's the macro picture. The macro picture don't look good. I mean, from my vantage point, it all depends on who you are. If you're in charge, if you're sitting on top, if you're in the cat seat right now, then I'm sure you view things differently than I do. But that's just a matter of values and perspective. I learned in economics in college, there were two views of the economy. The macro view, that is in terms of unemployment. The unemployment rate, for example, would be a macroeconomic issue. Just like the money supply would be a macroeconomic issue. And then there are microeconomics, macro being the big picture, micro being the detailed, lower minutiae view. Prices, for example, inflation, microeconomics, consumer, big picture versus, you know, what's... Anyway, yeah, you got the war, open borders, collapsing economy, very diverse situation, and young kids running around with tattoos and earrings on them, on their body. And here locally, where I live, this man by the name of Richard Barrett was killed yesterday, murdered, or so they say, from what I read in the nigger media. Now, let me just type in, who was Richard Barrett? I would say most people in Mississippi view Richard Barrett the same way they view the war, the same way they view our government. I mean, it's a herd mentality out there. Very few people have micro information, detailed information, actual, you know, the nuts and bolts of it. They've got the herd's got a macro view. And the macro view is a function of what the nigger media pumps in to the herd's tiny little brain. Most of you out there have your heads so far up your fucking ass that you couldn't find your ass with both your hands. You couldn't find your rear end with both your hands. So if somebody were to ask you, who is Richard Barrett? Who was Richard Barrett, rather? Y'all would probably say, oh, that's that white supremacist. Now, just like I've said in previous broadcasts, you white girls out there who are spreading your legs for them fucking niggers, that was not your idea, darling. No, no. After about 13 trillion messages from the nigger media, they're the ones who got your legs open. You didn't decide to do that. That's not an original idea with you. You didn't come up with that idea. You people out there, y'all don't have original ideas. You take in what is fed to you, like a big herd of cattle. You know, my cows, when I go out there, I throw the feed in the trough, and they just eat it up. They didn't go out and decide, well, I'm going to eat so-and-so for supper. They eat what's put in front of them, just like y'all listen and watch and read what's put in front of you. There's no critical analysis on your part. You do not have independent judgment. Most of you do not. You lack that. You are like my two cows, Mildred and Clara. You eat what's in front of you. You don't dissent. You don't question. You just slop it up. You eat it up. You have no original ideas. You're not critical thinkers. You're not independent thinkers. That's just the nature. You know, maybe that's the way it'll always be. But it's in a pretty, you know, my view, just my values. I forget who it was that said, I'm trying to think. There's some guest I had on a while back talking about politicians and basically that human nature never changes. That, and I think I was reading in one of my bee books. I'm reading a book on honeybees right now. And they cite one of the prime motivators in nature, and that being fear. I include greed in my description of human nature. Fear drives people, and greed drives people. Those are the primary motivators out there. When you see someone acting a certain way, typically it's going to be based on one of two motivators, fear or greed. And so, you know, it's rare that you come across somebody who has genuine, and I'm not suggesting I'm good at this at all, but I'm better than most of y'all in terms of independent judgment, critical thought, not accepting everything the nigger media spews out there. But it's my sense that our culture and our community and our hive, our colony, so to speak. I'm big into the honeybee thing now. I really love my honeybees. A beekeeper friend of mine was telling me the other day, once you're keeping bees in the springtime, and you see the bees collecting nectar the way they do in the springtime, the coolness and the great weather. When that honeybee spring bites you, you're going to be afflicted with that spell will bite you, and you'll be hooked from then on. And I can relate to that this spring. I've been bitten by the spring honeybee nectar flow. Our hive, our colony, our white hive and our white colony has pretty much been destroyed. And without a healthy hive, without a queen laying, it collapses. And I think I'm going to, you know, until I get tired of it, I'm going to use this honeybee hive colony analogy, because I think it's very good in terms of leadership, in terms of cultures, in terms of communities, in terms of our government. I mean, we started out a white nation. George Washington and all them American folks, those were white Europeans. They had a strong, healthy hive, and that hive and colony prospered, you know, for decades, a couple of centuries. It's in decline now, and that decline is a function of the diversity, the world of integration, forced integration by the government. The problems, they're just a whole host of problems afflicting our honeybee hive, our colony, our home. And most of you out there are so doped up on the propaganda that's spewed by the nigger media, you've lost your capability to engage in independent thought, your critical thought. You just take in what's told to you. Anyway, let's go to Richard Barrett. I'll tell you how close I am to Richard Barrett. You'll find this interesting. I didn't even realize this until just now. I have Googled his address. And keep in mind now, he was murdered yesterday by a nigger. Lot to be said about this story. It's reported that he lived at 227 East Petros Road. And they say Pearl, Mississippi, 39208. Now, that's a function of mail delivery. The United States Postal Service delivers mail to 227 East Petros Road, Pearl, Mississippi. But the fact of the matter is, Richard Barrett lived in rural Rankin County outside the city limits of Pearl, far outside the city limits of Pearl, just like I do. I've got a Pearl address, but I don't live in stinking Pearl, thank God. Nor would I ever live in stinking Pearl. It's probably the worst fucking city in the whole goddamn country, in the whole state. I live in what's referred to as the Monterey community. And that, you know, that's really an exaggeration in itself. We got a little rinky-dink volunteer fire department. But there's no, you know, there's, I mean, it's just a strip of road, really. But Richard Barrett gets his mail from Pearl Post Office just like I do. But neither of us live in Pearl. We're closer to Florence than Pearl. Literally, the municipality of Florence, Mississippi, is much closer to both Richard Barrett's former address and my address. But this is a real big coincidence. Barrett did not live very far from where I live. I didn't realize how close until now. And I got a sense of it, though, yesterday. Because I got a telephone call from a Rankin County investigator who told me that he was at a crime scene and that it was to be held in confidence. Well, I'm going to assume that we've gone beyond that now that they have arrested someone. And while the investigator did not tell me he was at a crime scene where Richard Barrett had been found dead. He didn't tell me that. He called to ask me what I knew about Richard Barrett. That's an indication of how close he and I live to one another. And I find that rather remarkable. I don't know, you know, it's rather curious to me that he ended up on Petros Road. I'd be real interested to know when he moved there. My grandparents have owned the property where I'm at now since the late 50s. I would suspect possibly it's a real possibility that Barrett moved to where he did because of me. That may not be true, but it might be. And I would almost think it real suspicious that he chose that particular street. And see, he had another home where he lived. Richard Barrett, though, he's dead. And I got that call from the Rankin County investigator yesterday wanting to know what I knew about Richard Barrett. And I told him that I told the Rankin County investigator that I had heard allegations that Richard Barrett is a FBI informant, that he's homosexual, and that he likes young boys. That's what I had been led to believe and my view of him. A lot more to say on that. Let me see what was it. Ultimately, though, you know, my in regard to answering the question, who was Richard Barrett? Richard Barrett was an asset. Make no mistake about that now. I'll come back to that. He was an asset. Not to white people, you can be sure of that. He was not an asset to white people. Let me just go and say, and then I'll try to flush it out the best I can. Richard Barrett was an FBI asset. He was a nigger media asset. Now, you know, I was going to wait until I got the reply back from the FBI, but I'm putting in a request for Richard Barrett's FBI file, which anyone's entitled to under the Freedom of Information Act once they're dead. You can request any deceased person's FBI file. I honestly don't trust the FBI, though, and it takes them about a month or more to respond. So I'm not going to wait in commenting on Richard Barrett. And you know, people have mentioned, they pointed out the animosity. They cite the animosity between me and Barrett. But that was ancient, and it wasn't deep felt on my part. I didn't have any deep emotional anger about Barrett. I had an intellectual, view of him. Mine was an analytical view of him. It wasn't any visceral dislike or any deep-seated passion that I held toward Barrett. My basic simple view of Richard Barrett was that he was a sick puppy, so to speak. And I'm suggesting sexual perversion here on his part. And this is a curious thing. There's several curious things about Richard Barrett, and let me lay them out to you as follows. There are several aspects here. And let me also say, because of his murder, a couple of people have popped up on the radar that I now clearly understand are hooked into the police because they were wanting to know get my reaction, want to know what I think. Well, hell, if you want to know what I think about Richard Barrett's murder, you can fucking listen to it right here on Radio Free Mississippi. But you exposed yourself in doing that. So, you know, I should have known it already. But it's crystal clear to me now. Like I say, I'm just a real simple and direct person. I'm an honest person. Let's try to paint a profile, a picture of Richard Barrett. When I first came back to Mississippi and started hollering about the flag, I came to know Richard Barrett. And early on, we were, friendly. It was very professional, supportive, ally sort of thing. That did not last very long at all. But during that period, I got a sense of what kind of person he was. Now, physically, let me paint this picture of you. See, the nigger media, they don't provide this kind of description of you. Let me give you a description of him physically. He was a little man. as are most lawyers. He was a lawyer. He was a little man. He was a scrawny man. And he had a look in his face that was one of distortion, of perversion. And that's why, you know, say, sick puppy. And he said, I mean, early on, when we were on a friendly basis there, and I'm talking maybe 10 years ago now, he would call me on the telephone incessantly. Every time I turned around, Richard Barrett was calling me. I can't even tell you what the breaking point was in our association. But just a real physically just a scrawny guy. And one thing that stood out to me later on after I had a chance to think about it were how inferior his legal writing, and I'm speaking now primarily, essentially only about the lawsuit that he filed against the University of Mississippi, Ole Miss, in regard to the stick flag ban. He was the first one to file a complaint against the stick flag ban and the nigger media here, Jerry Mitchell and all the other nigger media here in Mississippi, promoted that lawsuit. They've always promoted Richard Barrett, the nigger media here in Mississippi. That's why I say Richard Barrett was an asset. He was a nigger media asset, without question. He put stink, so to speak, on white racial politics. Anybody necessarily wanting to be racial in Mississippi, they figured that they were basically standing up with this fucking faggot from New York City. I mean, just in plain simple terms there, boy. Now, how many people, you know, given the fear factor and the greed factor out there, want to line up and stand up with a fucking faggot from New York City? Because that's all you ever saw, Jerry Mitchell and the Clarion Ledger and WLBT and WJTV and WAPT and every last goddamn fucking media outlet in this fucking state. You couldn't turn on a fucking television. You couldn't turn on a fucking radio or pick up a newspaper without seeing Richard Barrett's fucking ass on the front fucking page. They promoted his ass endlessly. Over and over and over and over. You get the thing, if you've listened to me in the past, that over deal. They ran it in the fucking ground. So much so that it was very obvious. It has been very obvious to me for a long time. But again, I am capable of independent judgment, independent thought, critical thinking. Unlike most of you out there who, again, have got your head up your ass so far that you couldn't find your ass with both your hands. Just in plain simple terms. But it was so transparent that Richard Barrett was an asset. When I read the first article by the Clarion Ledger, they have modified that since then. But the very first article the Clarion Ledger wrote, let me pull this up. Yeah, here we go. Yesterday, this was the very first article the Clarion Ledger wrote. Richard Barrett, white supremacist and a highly decorated veteran of the Vietnam War, apparently died in a fire at his 227 East Petros Road in Pearl. Forget all the other stuff other than highly decorated veteran of the Vietnam War. They slipped up there. That was an immediate knee-jerk reaction from the bowels of the nigger media. If you could have gotten the FBI, if you had compelled legally the FBI to respond to a question, was Richard Barrett an informant, and why were you at the fucking crime scene, you would have had a similar reaction, I believe. Because the FBI was at the crime scene yesterday, so the nigger media reported, and I believe they were. Now, what the hell are what's the fucking FBI doing at Richard Barrett's crime scene? Well, it suggests to me that Richard Barrett was an employee. And while I'm going to submit a letter to the FBI requesting his file, I do not trust the FBI to respond honestly. Just don't trust them there, boy. I'm going to play, I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm going to listen to what Jerry Mitchell says about it, because they were a real, they had a real partnership, a real alliance going. All the while, this old faggot from New York City commands center stage here in Mississippi as the prima donna, the number one, numero uno, racist, hater, and white supremacist. Not a fucking peep about me. Born in the Baptist Hospital here in Jackson, Mississippi in 1959. Graduated from Clinton High School in 1977. Played football. Went to Mississippi State University in Starkville on a football scholarship. Received two degrees from Mississippi State. A BS and an MBA. Not a peep. Not a fucking peep. Not a fucking peep from the nigger media when I'm arrested by an airport police officer on a felony charge. Huh? Not a fucking peep now. All the while, the nigger media report, and keep in mind now, I was engaged in a congressional campaign at the time, a campaign for federal office, and my civil rights are being violated by a police officer. She was a nigger police officer. Now, some have commented about stability and how it's important to maintain stability. Let me tell you what. Let me tell you, you smart guys out there. I respect a lot of y'all, but you ain't me. And I will defer to you, you know, just because, you know, just as a sign of discipline. I can do it. But never think for a second that you know, I do it simply, as a matter of discipline. But anytime there's any kind of hint at stability, let me tell you what. You ain't me, and you have not experienced what I have experienced. So when I rant and rave the way I did the other day and the way I've done in previous broadcast, that rage is healthy. It's normal. It's natural. And if you had been treated the way I have been treated, you too would have that rage if you're a normal, healthy person. Now, if you're some kind of perverse sicko that's truly unstable, then maybe you might not get angry and upset when the police, the prosecution, and judges try to put you in prison, try to destroy your life, basically try to kill you multiple times. If you can endure that with equanimity, well, all I can say is, you know, you got some weak genes in you, boy. Because I believe that the stable, rational, healthy thing to do is have rage when people try to kill you. I mean, just in a, you know, normal, you know, we're having a conversation here. I think it's irrational. I think it would be unstable. I think it would be fucking crazy not to get angry if somebody tries to kill you. And that's what the state has tried to do here to me in Mississippi on multiple occasions. But what I'm contrasting for you here is a nigger media asset, i.e., Richard Barrett versus a genuine person, Jimmy Giles. You've got a fraud, an imposter, a sick puppy, a faggot from New York City posing as a quote-unquote white supremacist. That's horseshit. He was a fucking FBI informant. He's a fucking nigger media asset. I don't care what the goddamn FBI says in response to my Freedom of Information Act in regard to his FBI file. I don't trust them. I don't trust them to give me an honest answer. They were not honest with me when I reported the illegal conduct by multiple police officers at Office Depot's parking lot in Pearl, Mississippi, on or about July 7, 2004, went down to the FBI office in Jackson and reported that misconduct, where I was arrested. It was just going to be a misdemeanor charge. Then they found the .357 in my truck. The nigger Pat Walker found it. I was told later that he had a big shot brother or some kin working for Haley Barbour, the governor. Pat Walker, a nigger, police officer. Tony DiMartino, the Pearl police officer, he was there on the scene. Shalonda Hiley, she was the arresting officer, a nigger. And you say, well, Jimmy, why are you calling her a nigger? Well, hell, she tried to kill me. What do you want me to do, call her officer? Yeah, I don't think so. Again, mine is just a natural, honest reaction. I ain't going to try to dress it up. I'm just being simply honest here. I reported exactly what the police did to me, and not a peep, not no help. The two FBI agents, special agents, so-called, nothing. But hey, boys, that ain't a done deal. I'm not through complaining about it. I will never cease to complain about it, and I'm going to be contacting the Inspector General's office about it and ask them to conduct another investigation over the matter. There were a lot of police officers at the scene at Office Depot's parking lot in Pearl, Mississippi. There were a bunch of them there. Now, an honest FBI agent can sit everybody down, all concerned, say, listen, I want you to tell me the truth, and if you don't tell me the truth, you go into prison. The truth of the matter is none of them ever drew their weapon. Not one. None. Never. None. The truth of the matter is they left me at the rear of my pickup truck, unhandcuffed, unattended, with me having complete access to my .357 inside my truck. They didn't know it was in there. They were dispatched to the scene as a redneck. Undoubtedly, that's Jim Giles. I had my federal campaign sign for Congress, the big old Confederate battle flag in the back of my pickup truck. I'm very conspicuous. I pointed my finger at this nigger and said, I'll see you in federal court, because I had a lawsuit filed against another nigger airport police officer. So all the police who were dispatched, both the airport police, but first the Pearl police, they were not dispatched to a felony scene. They were dispatched to a misdemeanor scene. That the dispatchers, the communication, all the FBI has to do, or for that matter, all the Mississippi Bureau of Investigation has to do, if there was one last fucking honest police officer there. I'm not trusting y'all anymore. All I can do is keep appealing legally up the chain of command here, and I'm going to the Office of Inspector General next. There are a lot of people involved in that arrest who saw what happened. And all you boys, you know, what you need to be worried about is, once the truth comes out, then all your asses ought to go to prison for lying to the FBI. Because as a factual matter, none of y'all drew your weapons. You saw me at the rear of my pickup truck for 5 or 10 minutes, unhandcuffed with complete access to my inside of my truck. All right, I don't want to get off. This is somewhat redundant, but I'm going to revisit my complaint to the Office of Inspector General. This broadcast really has to do with Richard Barrett. Who was Richard Barrett? But I can't help but contrast how I've been treated by the nigger media as a federal candidate for Congress, running on a pro-white, anti-Zionist platform and got zero coverage, as compared to this faggot from New York City who got incessant, constant, repetitive, redundant coverage by all the nigger media here in Mississippi. And don't you idiots out there forget that there are other crimes by young white boys that are affiliated with Richard Barrett. I remember there was some young kid, I'm saying in his early 20s is my best I can recall, who was arrested on some kind of bomb charge who was affiliated with Barrett. But I find it remarkable how close Richard Barrett lived to me. Let me point out a couple of other unusual things about Barrett. Let me say this. It must be 4 years or more, years ago. Time really flies. It has a way of just flying. Used to, I would see Barrett in his white pickup truck frequently on Monterey Road. I would notice him in his truck. I cannot recall the last time I saw him on Monterey Road in his pickup. Used to, it wasn't uncommon. I would see him every now and then on Monterey Road. But I haven't seen him in years. What that tells me is the FBI told him to stop crossing my path, that I would no longer be productive in their efforts to entrap people into violating the law, to ensnare white people who were racial into committing crimes. That I was a dead end on that in that regard because I'm strictly legal here. Always have been, always will be. That's a curiosity, though, and I very much believe that's the case. Used to, he called me constantly, incessantly. But once we broke, and once there was the the conflict that had been exposed, and we clearly weren't heading in the same direction, I think he stopped traveling the road. Because he doesn't have to travel Monterey Road. There are a couple other routes out to town, so to speak. What else? There was something else I was going to say. Another curiosity. Long been a curiosity, and I think this is reflective of his role as an FBI informant. I had written a letter to him. And it laid out some things. He had complained to my server to try to get my website banned. And I responded. It was a really good letter that pretty much laid out who I felt he was, namely a faggot and an FBI informant. And I had it up on my website for a long time. Well, guess what? You know how maybe you don't know this, but a document, and especially, stuff I put up, it doesn't take Google very long at all to where the Google search engine, it'll make it the first hit. I mean, if you type in Jim Giles in Google search engine, I'm going to be the first hit. Well, used to, when you type in Richard Barrett, so too. My letter to him would pop up. There it would be. Well, guess what happened? It disappeared. You couldn't do a Google search and locate the letter I sent to Richard Barrett that I had posted up on my website. So that's a curiosity. It's another indication to me I'm just reading some stuff here. Let me just mention this. I received an email. Somebody sent me an email and said, if you make any statement about Richard Barrett at this time, it should be on the extreme dangers of employing cheap non-white labor. South African Eugene Terra Blanchim another self-announced mini Fuhrer, was another recent example of this. Tara Blanchim was also hacked to death by two of his cut-rate black farm workers. I remember seeing that. Stop. I remember seeing that article about that guy. I found that rather strange. You know, it's just something goofy about that. And let me just go to the quick of the matter. This is, you know, again, I'm not a pro here. I just, you know, I talk off the top of my head. And one thing that's occurring to me is a report, I believe it was by WLBT, the Nigger NBC News affiliate here in Jackson, Mississippi. We've been seeing their big vans roll down Monterey Road. I remember the night the vote was in on the flag, after the flag referendum vote. They sent one of their Nigger reporters down here to my trailer in the woods. In Pearl, yeah, I ain't in fucking Pearl, nor was Richard Barrett. We're in the rural Rankin County. Yeah, they sent the NBC Nigger News sent one of their reporters down here, and she was just trembling. You know, we had won the flag vote. I was a really nice guy back then. That was before, you know. Well, a lot of experience, though, has altered my niceness. And, you know, I'm really disappointed in many ways about the kind of politicians we've got out there. Somebody mentioned to me when I first started out, can you handle sausage making? You know, they always say politics is like sausage making, that you don't want to see what goes on behind the scenes. And maybe that's clearly the case with me. I'm not going to be dishonest. I'm gonna say things just exactly the way I feel about them. It's real disappointing to me, though, when I come in contact with friends who are affiliated and associated with people I know to be just downright pieces of shit. And they only see the one side. They don't see the other side that I know. You know, that they're dishonest and they've tried to hurt me. Let me go. The WLBT thing, though, Jimmy. Come on. Get your point out. WLBT mentioned the nigger who killed Barrett. What'd they say? They were interviewing the neighbors. And I believe they were interviewing this nigger's stepfather. Or some of the other neighbors that live on that road. And they said they found it real odd, the relationship between Barrett and this nigger. Now, you know, my sense in looking at this nigger's picture that's charged, let me bring his picture up so I can have it in front of me. I'm looking at him now, McGee. McGee, what's his first name? Vincent McGee, 23 years old. He's got tattoos all over his black ass, earrings in his ears, just like you little white shits out there. I'm trying to determine his sexuality based just looking at his face here, and he don't look super masculine, but you know. I really think it was a lover's quarrel. I don't think it had to do anything with money. I think the reason Richard Barrett is dead is because it was sexual in nature. Now, I don't know if Barrett had consummated the relationship, or this could have been a, you know, my very initial, before I've had a chance to really study on it, I thought about it, and I thought that Barrett had made a pass at this young nigger buck, and the nigger turned around and, you know, blew up on him, killed his ass, stuck him to death, stabbed him to death. But yeah, I mean, it's a perverse relationship. This is a so-called white supremacist living where he's living, and it was reported by the nigger media that they had long drives in Barrett's vehicle down to the Learned location, his Learned location, to do yard work. That's real suspicious. I mean, his neighbors, they think it's odd. I think it's odd too. And my supposition here, my theory of the case is it's sexual. It's not financial. Why would this young nigger buck be hanging around a 67-year-old, you know, going in his truck all these distances? See, Barrett is a real talker. He'd talk your ears off. And, you know how a lot of lawyers are manipulative in nature. That's just, you know, they're wordsmiths. They're masters. I mean, that's what they deal with, verbal words for the most part. Oratory. A lot of words there, boy. So I think Barrett bamboozled this guy and got dead as Fred as a result. While I'm here, though, let me just go ahead and let's listen to what Jerry Mitchell has to say. Richard Barrett's partner. This is
the
ad
of a good decision. In the world of personal finance, it's Mass Mutual. Ask your advisor or visit MassMutual.com.
This is an ad. It'll finish just 1 second. This is Jerry Mitchell on Richard Barrett at Clarion Ledger's website. Let's see what old Jerry has to say. Good night. This is pathetic. The nigger media personified here. Having a long time start. No telling how many people are taking this stuff in and believing what this nigger media has to say. Come on, boys. Try to engage in some critical thinking out there. It's not that hard. Just try. Come on. Try. Try to think for yourself. Just try. I mean, there's a lot to be said for effort. Just try. Come on. I know you can do it. Don't let other people think for you. Think for yourself. It's still trying to start here. It's probably a function of so many people trying to access it at the same time. This is big news in little old Mississippi. Yeah, hell, they've been promoting Richard Barrett's sorry ass for decades here. I mean, we're talking decades. This guy is a freaking, he's probably, he is widely, I mean, I don't know who doesn't know about him. I mean, the nigger media, when they get on something, I mean, keep in mind now, they didn't report one goddamn fucking word about my arrest, my felony arrest, by airport police officers who said an airport police officer who said I pointed a gun at her. That sounds like real terrorism to me. Not a word. Not one word. It's still trying to start. Maybe it'll start here in a little while. Let me look around and see what else I can say. Oh, yeah. All the while they're promoting this faggot from New York City, this probable FBI informant, and undoubtedly, ain't no probable about it, he was definitely an asset to the nigger media. Because, you know, again, I have to repeat myself, given your slowness, your mental aptitude being, you know, kind of in the retarded area. He put stink on white racial politics, or rather the nigger media here in Mississippi utilized him to make white people look bad. And all the while, there was a couple murdered up in Greenville. I haven't been able to run that down yet. And there was a mother raped in Scott County. I haven't been able to run down that. And when I say run down that, I'm talking about, are these niggers who killed a white couple, and it almost certainly sounds like niggers who raped this woman. I don't know if it was a white woman or not. But let me pull up something real quick. Let me see here. Greenville couple murder. Nice couple died murder. No, let's see, Greenville. Greenville, Mississippi bond has been set at $2.5 million for a Greenville. Let's see. Let's go to that. WKRG. What is WKRG? This is an Associated Nigger Press article. Bond has been set at $2.5 million for a Greenville man charged in a weekend slaying. March 9th? No, that's not it. I don't think that's it. Do another search here. Come on. MS, not MA. Mississippi. Have they killed that story already? Okay, here it is. Two charged in connection with Greenville slaying. Greenville, Mississippi. The reason I think it's a white couple is because the couple's name is Kelly and Clarissa King. I mean, I've never known a nigger named Kelly. Let's call the Greenville Police Department while we're waiting for Jerry Mitchell to come up at the Clarion Ledger. Oh, Jerry has something to say. He lost his partner in crime, Richard Barrett. Yeah, you really saw how the Clarion Ledger viewed Barrett, their emotional reaction to him, their affection for him. They betrayed their genuine emotion in that first article that came out that had highly decorated Vietnam War veteran. Huh? Get a load of that? Previously, it was all disparaging comments about how, you know, he's this hateful white supremacist, all that stuff. They fooling y'all, boy. Greenville Police Department. Come on. Come on. Come on. I'm going to call the Greenville. I don't know if they're going to give me the race of the matter, but I'm sure going to ask.
Police Department.
Yes, ma'am. This is Jim Giles with Radio Free Mississippi. I'm calling to find out the, I cover interracial crime and the couple Kelly and Clarissa King. Were they white or black?
Let me transfer it to Records Department, sir, so they can just pull it up and do a background check or whatever you need, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, this is Jim Giles with Radio Free Mississippi, and we're on the air now. I was calling to find out in regard to Kelly and Clarissa King, who were murdered. Were they white or black?
What was that name?
This is Jim Giles with Radio Free Mississippi, and we're on the air now, and I was calling to find out Kelly and Clarissa King, were they white?
White, may I help you? Hello?
Yes, hello?
Yeah, what are you trying to, what information are you looking for?
Kelly and Clarissa King, were they white or black?
I don't know. Hold on a minute.
Thank you.
Police Officer Captain Andrew Cahill of the Criminal Investigation Division. I'm presently on the phone or away from my desk. If you would, leave a message, and I will return your call as soon as possible.
Yeah, well, you know where I'm calling there, don't you? That would be Greenville, Mississippi. That's the Delta there, boy. Y'all know who lives in the Delta there, don't you, boy? That's a crime that's suspicious to me because, you know, again, in terms of stability and rage and that sort of thing, I contend on my end that it's healthy to get angry and have rage when you've got a violent situation out there where you've got niggers robbing, raping, and killing white people. I think it's healthy to get angry about that. I think it's unhealthy not to. And all the while, this faggot from New York City gets all this press as being the white supremacist. And none of y'all want to associate with him. he has made white racism radioactive. He really hadn't. The nigger media has used him to make racial politics radioactive. I mean, clearly, non-white people they're racial as all get out. Let's try Scott County. I would just mark that down as a suspicious case that looks like yet another, you know, I'm not certain of it. I'm just pointing out that in Greenville, Mississippi, got a lot of niggers up there, boy, that, when they say that Kelly and Clarissa King were murdered, that's a couple now. This is real recent. This happened, I think, on the 20th of April. And they charged, what the guy's name is, Benny Frazier and Charles Jackson, both of Greenville, have been charged as accessories in the shooting deaths of Kelly and Clarissa King. I think it was a home, here it is, capital murder and one count each of house burglary and aggravated assault. And it was a home invasion. Now, if these was a couple of white boys who did this to a couple of, you know, a nigger couple up there, hell, it'd be goddamn fucking front page news. And also, if it were whites who had done it to other whites, it would be, you know, front page news, and the nigger media would include mugshots. But I don't see no mugshots there, boy. So I'm just, you know, suspicious. You don't mind if I'm suspicious, do you? That's one suspicious case. There's another one out there that's occurring right now while all this hoopla about this faggot from New York City gets all this attention. Come on. Scott County rape. All right, yeah. And the person, the perpetrator, his name is Darian, Darrian. And another one is Devante. I'm going to go way, way out on a limb, and I'm suspicious that these are two niggers, too. They are accused of abducting a woman and her infant son and holding them for ransom. I'm going to go way out on a limb again. And my suspicion is that these two niggers, they kidnapped and raped a white girl. Y'all don't mind if I do that, do you? And y'all don't mind if I raise my voice when I, you know, get kind of angry about that, huh? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that sausage making has resulted in a lot of weak-minded people in charge. They don't have a healthy view of things. Let's give Scott County a call. Let's give the Scott County Sheriff's Department a call now. See if they'll tell us the race of the matter. Scott County Sheriff. Wonder how many Scott counties there are in Mississippi. Well, there's one in Davenport, Iowa. There's a Scott County in Davenport, Iowa. Forest, Mississippi. That sounds like our Scott County. You know, isn't it pathetic? See, I have to, I'm a one-man operation here. It could be a 24-hour operation, though, running down the race of the matter.
Scott County Sheriff's Office, may I help you?
Yes, ma'am. This is Jim Giles with Radio Free Mississippi.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to learn the race of
Hold on. Just a second, huh? 911, where's emergency? Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
This is Jim Giles with Radio Free.
Uh-huh.
I'm calling to find out the race of the mother who was raped, kidnapped, and raped. Was she white or black?
White.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
All right.
Bye-bye. Okay, there you have it. We got a white mom raped, kidnapped, and raped in Scott County. I ain't even going to bother to look up these two fucking perpetrators. It's, you know. Devontae and Darian, I'm just going to go out on a fucking limb and say they're fucking niggers. Huh? You know, my previous broadcast was, and I'm going to resume it at some point. Yeah, I'm going to even resume interviewing people at some point. But boy, it's busy at a farm. Hell, I'm trying to do all this. I could throw so many things at you. So much on my mind. But just keep that in mind. Now, I told you about the couple that was killed in Greenville, Mississippi, a couple of days ago. One of the couple, it was a home invasion. I'm sure of that, based on the nigger media reports. I mean, the nigger media could be lying. That's always a possibility. They probably are lying about a lot of things, but probably it's probably the case that it was a home invasion based on, you know, the report there. And it's probably the case that Kelly and Clarissa King were, it's probably the case that they were white. Just going out on a limb here, doing a little conjecture, a little speculation. It's a hypothesis. It's my theory of the case. That Kelly and Clarissa King were, what they were, a white couple in Greenville, Mississippi. Now, granted, given the trashy status of a lot of white young whites out there, it's always possible that it could have been whites who murdered Kelly and Clarissa King, but it probably not. I mean, just statistically, it's probably niggers who killed Kelly and Clarissa King. Now, we just heard the Scott County Sheriff's Department tell us that the mother who was kidnapped and raped was a white woman. And the nigger media is reporting that the people charged, their names are Darian and Devontae. Huh? Huh? Yeah. Y'all are the ones who are unstable. Not me. Mine is healthy. Mine is normal. Mine is rational. My question is, why don't you raise your voice the way I raise my voice? Why is that? Well, I think we go back to those two fundamental motivators out there. Two fundamental motivators, fear and greed. The reason y'all don't raise your voice the way I do is most of you just fucking chicken shits. I mean, just in simple terms, you just fucking chicken shits. You ain't got no fucking courage. And then the ones, you know, that greed thing's another big factor, another big motivator out there. You sitting in the cat seat, hell, you ain't going to raise Cain because you're a sorry-ass policeman, a sorry-ass public school teacher. You got some kind of goddamn job, and you're secure. You're a little greedy shit, so you're not going to oppose any goddamn thing. And hey, you talk about just scratching the surface. This is just within the last couple of days. We're talking days here. Just the last couple of days. It don't take any effort at all. Now, keep in mind, I glanced at the nigger media, and I picked up these two stories. They're gone now from the headlines. They were never truly headlines. They just popped up very briefly. They're gone now. I had to fish them back up through Google. Give it a month, and hell, there will be no trace of it. You won't be able to find out anything about the white mother who was kidnapped and raped in Scott County. The sheriff in Scott County is one of those greedy shits. He will reassure everybody that he's law and order guy. He is a God-fearing, he's a respectful guy. He's a stable guy. No rage on his part. No instability on his part. He's healthy. He exerts equanimity here while they're kidnapping and raping white mothers in Scott County. That's the kind of sheriffs we have in Mississippi. It's the kind of police we have. It's the kind of public school teachers we have. It's the kind of mayors we have. Bad situation. Like I say, I'm a gladiator farmer. I'm not going to get anxious about this. We got a long ways to go. But who was Richard Barrett? Well, make no mistake about it. Richard Barrett was an asset. Because the media needs, the way they've been able to perpetrate this white hatred, all the while singing the praises of all these fucking niggers, you got to have a boogeyman. And Richard Barrett has been the media's boogeyman. And while he wasn't the media's boogeyman, he was the FBI's informant who was out there courting young white boys to break the law, blow up something, bomb this, bomb that. And he was a sexual pervert, in my opinion, just based on my view of him. And I very much think his death is rooted in sexual perversion, just my sense. That's what my blue tick nose says there, boy. What else, Jimmy? Boy, you got a lot to do. Today is farming season. Yeah. What do y'all think the FBI is going to do with my Freedom of Information Act? Do you think they're going to shoot back and say, Richard Barrett has no file? I don't care what y'all say. I think he was working for you. Why were y'all at the scene? Why was the FBI at the scene? You don't have any jurisdiction. Hell, it happened right there on Petros Road. Somebody stabbed him to death there, boy. That's a hell of a note, though. That yesterday morning, I got that call from the Rankin County investigator, and I had no idea, what was going on here. And so I start going down the long, my view of, first of all, I didn't really trust. I mean, the guy I've known from the past, and he's a good guy. So I asked, it sounds like you, but just to make sure, give me a number. And so I had him let me call the Rankin County Sheriff's Office and patch me through to him, just to be sure I was talking to who he said he was, and that is a Rankin County investigator. But heck, baby, I mean, who else is giving you this kind of reporting? We got the Rankin County investigator calling me from the crime scene. And it is none other than the crime scene of Richard Barrett. Now, I'm not, don't get me wrong. I'm not laughing at you know, I'm not going to pile on so much so that I'm going to, what I'm getting at. I've seen a few comments. I can't bear to read a lot of the commentary on the Clarion Ledger's website. I just can't bear it. But I've noticed a few, and it's just real petty stuff. Again, I had no strong emotion about Barrett. I just had an analytical view of him. And I viewed him as a faggot, and I viewed him as an FBI informant. And there's some more things I could tell you about that FBI informant thing, but that I'll hold up on right now. But I really think he was. I really think he was. What else you got, Jimmy? Look around. Oh, yeah. I wanted to mention this. I might go back to a couple more things on Barrett, but I noticed where the fraternity KA has banned the rebel uniform or something like that. It was founded, had some affiliation with Robert E. Lee. And all I can say is thank you, you little pussies. You little white pussies, I'm glad you finally disassociated yourself from Robert E. Lee, because you sure as hell don't merit being associated with him. Good for you. I'm glad to see that happen. Just another reflection of the, effeminate attitude out there amongst you. I never cared for frat people, frat rats. All of you, as far as I was concerned, you little fucking pussies. You little pussies. So I'm glad to hear that. And I just wanted to salute you. Robert E. Lee is also happy that you've disassociated from him and banned that rebel flag. I will say, though, don't get the wrong idea. I'm not pro-Confederacy in terms of what the South did. I'm jumping off into something else. But I consider the South the first true free traders. They like that cheap labor. They like getting poor white boys to fight wars for them so they could have that cheap labor. Hell, back then it was slave labor. But the same crowd is in charge now. They like the cheap labor. It's illegal immigration, but I admire the who can't help but admire the courage of them Southern boys fighting against superior forces and doing so with great courage. Got that out of the way. I'm looking around here. Oh yeah, man, it's a busy news day. I saw where somebody sent me a link and they said Kurt Maynard had killed his ex-wife and then killed himself. I haven't run down this totally yet, but man, talk about, and see Kurt Maynard, he didn't have I never heard him scream. My point is, a lot of you cool customers out there, you so-called stable people, y'all the ones who are really unstable. I contend I'm the truly stable one here, because in my mind, it's healthy to dislike, in very strong terms, niggers raping vaginally and anally Charlotte Parker and shooting her 3 times and leaving her to die in her burning home, along with the rest of her family, that is her older brother and her 2 parents. That's a crime that was committed, not very long ago, maybe 10 years ago. None of y'all have ever heard of Charlotte Parker before, little white girl. I think it's healthy to, get angry about that and to engage in rage. I think rage I think that's a healthy response. Or rhetorically. I'm always advocating strict legality. And I think the state should be the one to bring to justice all those doing this sort of thing. But ultimately, I advocate a state, a government, a new government that would create a big white wall and stick niggers and nigger lovers on one side of it and white people on the other side, where we could get back to forming a good colony again, where we could raise our children to not have tattoos all over their ass and earrings, and to not be breeding with non-whites. To my mind, that's healthy. But this Kurt Maynard, I always heard he was a smart guy. I heard he was a military guy too, ex-military. But that, in reading that, that's really curious. Maybe it's not. Who knows? You know, I only looked at this a second this morning. I haven't run down this. But somebody sent me an email with a bunch of links commenting on this Kurt Maynard's. Getting all kind of hits now. You know, that email that just came in, it had to do with somebody I had interviewed a while back. Then they don't see the interview up there. Let me just tell all of y'all listening, all the interviews I had up previously, I plan to put them back up. I reformatted my website, and I'm just going with words. I mean, text. Now, you know, and it's very brief. The real action is right here with my words, what I have to say. Nobody says stuff like I do. Nobody out there. You know, and again, I'm not asking for any money. Let me look around. Yeah, Kurt Maynard. That's I don't know. He's the one that claimed I was what'd he say? An informant, maybe? He was real critical of me in contacting the feds over that guy, Dan Jones. Right, I've been over that a million times. I'm not going to bring that up again. Hydroponics. What is hydroponics? A technique of growing plants without soil and water containing dissolved nutrients. Okay, what we got? All right, let me include this. You know, sometimes I scare myself because, you know, I get an email and I read it for the first time without ever having read it. I'll try to stop myself if I get somewhere I don't want to go. This is an email I got. Start. In reading the original dissent comment speculating about why Barrett was employing early release convict Negro McGee, if you must comment, limit your comments to the proven lethal danger of employing non-white labor. Stop. Let me stop right there. It is widely known or widely understood, or let me put it this way. I have come to understand that it is rather common that someone that you employ, either, you know, the police, if somebody gets killed at a home, they always check to see, well, did they have a plumber in there, an electrician, or a yard man, or somebody mowing the yard, or somebody came by, you know. And invariably, many times, the person who ended up dead, they ended up dead at the hands of some nigger who was in there doing yard work. Because, you know, that's the nature of a lot of sorry whites out there. They seek that cheap labor. Rather than, you know, I used to get paid $3 to cut my neighbor's grass. Boy, I consider that a lot of money. But you get back to that greed thing. Greedy whites. Clearly, our problems are self-inflicted. That's why it's hard to really feel sorry for white people. In this regard, I've always said something my grandfather told me, and this is something I very much believe. You cannot cheat an honest man. You think about that. You cannot cheat an honest man. I very much believe that. So I really don't feel sorry for y'all. Y'all have plenty of opportunities to straighten out the matter. Y'all just not ready to do it. Hell, I ran numerous times here in Mississippi. Nobody stood up with me. Y'all laughed. Y'all said, y'all throwing your vote away. Y'all voted for Republican Chip Pickering. Now, where is Chip now? Do y'all think y'all got a good return on your investment? Huh? Y'all proud of y'all's vote? Y'all proud y'all voted for Chip Pickering? You think that was a wise vote? I mean, you could have voted for me. You didn't, but you could have. Now, what was I standing up for? I was against immigration. I was against the war. I was against the war. Chip was for the war. I was against the war before we invaded Iraq. Said so at the Neshoba County Fair. And y'all voted for Chip because he's a good Southern Baptist Christian, right? Y'all proud of that? Who's since in the process of divorcing his wife? Divorcing his wife, and it's come out that he was having an affair with a woman up there in Washington. That his ex-wife has sued. I don't know what the latest is on that. The nigger media, sure. Yeah, I want to give him a break on that. They're not going to make that big news. This is a paragon now. This was going to be a future senator. It's par for the course. What passes for honor and integrity and character? You forget about it. We don't have that. I use profanity and I raise my voice. But I contend I'm an honorable person. You may not. You may say, well, because you raise your voice, because you scream the way you do, because you use profanity, that makes you, you lack character. You lack integrity. You're not honest. Really? Really? Is that the truth of the matter? You think that's the truth of the matter? That's why you voted for Chip? Huh? You think Chip Pickering's a better man than Jimmy Giles? Do you think Chip Pickering did a better job in the United States Congress than Jimmy Giles would have done? Really? You gotta, I can't change who you are. I can't change the way you think. All I can do is say what I believe in, and I've been doing that for a long time and will continue to do so. You're the one who's going to, you've got to do it yourself. And ultimately, it will get back to those two prime human motivators, and that being fear and greed. I think that's the only thing necessarily that's going to motivate you to change course. And I think there's a good probability that will happen. Because I'm not trying to implement any kind of marginal change. I want radical change. I mean, how much more radical can you get than building a big white wall and separating whites from non-whites? That's pretty radical in my mind. All you got to do is believe in it, though. Just like, saying we're going to put a man on the moon. Just like saying we're going to Radio Free Mississippi is going to find a way to put a satellite in space. Start. You can extend your comments to the utter hypocrisy of pro-white leaders employing non-white labor. Stop. Anybody that employs non-white labor, be wary of that. Let me just fess up. I don't know how I could have gotten it built. This is an excuse. I could have looked harder. But I'm having a problem right now getting, I think his name is Frank McCurdy. He is the superintendent. And get this, this is a big coincidence. I believe he's superintendent of Scott County Schools. He employed, not me, but you could say I kind of sort of did. Because I knew that he was going to employ Guatemalans to construct my barn. So I can do better and will strive to do so. But there's one leak in my roof, and I've called McCurdy now for the last 3 months, and he keeps telling me he's going to come out here and fix the leak, but he won't come. But I ain't going to quit calling until he comes out here and fixes the leak. Another funny thing, coincidence, it's funny how things go in a pattern. Somebody was mentioning to me there's some kind of controversy involving a math teacher over in Scott County. And they fired some math teacher over there, and they've hired another one. And this young girl is supposed to, her parents, her father, is supposed to own some car dealership, maybe in Forest. If not in Forest, maybe in Lake. And the people opposed to her had found her Facebook photographs on the internet that showed her sticking her ass toward niggers. And they circulated it saying, is this the kind of math teacher we want teaching our children? And I commented to the person who told me about that. And I said, yeah, she doesn't sound like a lady to me. Boy, this is tough stuff. I'm coarse. I'm profane, but I believe in young women acting like ladies. And I believe in young men acting like gentlemen. As I hear the thunder roll in the background, we're supposed to get some rain today. Start. Now, someone is suggesting that I say nothing about things that I have no solid proof about. I mean, that's a valid point, but given the time delay, I put in my request to the FBI, or rather I will. I printed off the letters to ask for Barrett's FBI file. But honestly, I don't think they're going to give an honest reply. They can always cite national security. And I don't trust them. I don't trust them. And this person also suggests I don't mention that he's a sodomite. He can no longer answer for himself. Well, true enough, but too many things out there that, Oh, goodness. I see some more advice I've ignored, but it wasn't necessarily intentional. And I concur with this email that some people say make no comments about Richard Barrett. No, make no comments about Maynard. This person says it's pathetic and sad. Primary emotions. I concur. I have no glee. There's no joy. And I'm not gloating here. But while some of y'all can, and I share your view that, you know, the thing about Kurt Maynard and the thing about Richard Barrett, they genuinely are pathetic and sad. I agree. And I can understand why some of y'all might not want me commenting about this, but in all due respect, y'all are not me. And you're not having the same reaction that I am to the couple in Greenville, Mississippi. Most probably a white couple. I mean, there's a slim chance that Kelly and Clarissa King are they're black, could be, but probably they're white. That they were murdered by niggers in a home invasion just a couple of days ago. And when I hear about the white mother, and I assumed she was white, and I've assumed that those arrested for the kidnapping and rape are niggers based on their first names. Devontae, Darian, D-A-R-R-I-N, but especially Devontae. I've never known a white boy named Devontae. Have you? I can't, you know, my job here is to comment, and I'm commenting, honestly, best I can. I'm not trying to deceive you. Somebody even suggests McGee might be wrongly, even falsely accused, stating that black people are also sometimes victimized by dishonest, corrupt, and incompetent police work. And they say McGee hasn't been convicted yet. And interestingly, this person, they say, what if this comes back? I'm pausing here whether or not I want to mention this person's name. I won't mention this person's name, but let me tell you what I told the Rankin County investigator when he called. Let me put it this way. Let me go at it a different tack. I think Richard Barrett's death is related, and the motivation was based, it's rooted in sexual perversion. I think whoever it is that killed Richard Barrett was somebody that was either a, how do you say this stuff? Gosh, it's pathetic. It's sexual perversion and a young boy. So, some of the email I get out there from some folks, especially some quarters, they're expert on how corrupt the police can be. But I like Sheriff Pennington, and I like this investigator who called me, and I think they got the right guy. I mean, that's just my sense. I don't think they would arrest him. There's always a slim chance, but I don't think they would have arrested him unless they had hard evidence. And that I saw a reference in one of the media outlets that they saw something up under the carport, I think, that made them do a search warrant. Yeah, they're always. Anyway, I'm just calling it like I see it. I think it's bizarre beyond, it's just incredibly bizarre that Richard Barrett from New York City would enjoy so much publicity by the Clarion Ledger and Jerry Mitchell and all the other nigger media here in Mississippi. Got one more email, but let me see if I can't get Jerry Mitchell to come up. Again, it's probably a function of just a lot of people listening to the, it's still trying to start. I'm going to close that page out and see. Try it again.
What is the sign of a good decision? In the world of personal finance, it's Mass Mutual. Ask your advisor or visit massmutual.com.
Here we go. Jerry Mitchell here on Richard Barrett. Maybe. They got a picture of Mitchell. This dang video is not wanting to start. We have to endure Jerry Mitchell here in Mississippi. God almighty. You talk about local media. He ain't no more local media. Give me a break. I'm going to close this page out and see if I can't get it to come up another way. Close out some of these pages. Boy, I got a lot of pages up here. Jerry Mitchell on Richard Barrett is 3 minutes and 34 seconds in length. Let's see if it'll come up.
Introducing the all-new 2010 Intel Core processors.
I met Richard in, I believe it was late 1987. It wasn't too long after I started working for the Clarion Ledger. And there was a protest in Natchez, Mississippi. And so he had some kind of white supremacist march he was having in downtown Natchez. And I remember it was a Saturday, and I was the Saturday reporter that day, and that was what I got sent to cover. And so here was Richard, and he was marching with, I think, five or six guys, white guys. And they're marching down the streets of Natchez. I'm just kind of tag along following. This is all new to me. What the heck is going on? And so.
Let me just stop right there. You knew exactly what the heck was going on. You were sent there to cover some white supremacy. You were sent there, Jerry, to make white people look bad. You were sent there to promote to all of Mississippi that you don't. The last thing you want to do, darling, is to be racial. I mean, white in terms of being pro-white. See, Jerry's playing dumb here. Now, if you're incapable, if you're a fucking idiot, now you can listen to what Jerry's saying and take it all in, hook, line, and sinker. You can slop it up like Mildred and Clara ate the feed I put in front of them. Or you can try to engage in some independent thought there, some critical thinking.
I follow them. And we rounded a corner. We're walking to the courthouse, and we round a corner. And as we round the corner, there's literally a sea of like African Americans. I mean, it's just as many as the eye can see all over the horizon. And I started laughing. I just thought it was kind of funny. But they carved out a little path, literally a single person path, so Richard could get to his podium and speak and say whatever he wanted to say. And so he did, and I covered the story, and that was the first time I ever met Richard.
Hear that? Now, y'all need to go and watch this video because it betrays a friendship and affection Jerry Mitchell had for Richard Barrett. I can tell in his demeanor. I've always implicitly understood these two guys were partners. Partners in crime, and that crime being putting stink on white racial politics. They've been at it for decades here in Mississippi.
So it was kind of my introduction to Richard and his white supremacist views and that kind of thing. Like
white supremacist views. I mean, I saw one reference to white separatist. I mean, give me a fucking break. White supremacist? I've never been labeled. Don't you find that interesting? The media's strategy with me has always been to ignore me. Maybe they might think I would disagree with the notion of a white supremacist living in a fucking trailer. You know, there's just something that doesn't fit with that. You know, how can you be a true white supremacist and live in a fucking trailer?
Well, he was born in Washington Heights, New York City. And then he...
Where were you born, Jerry? You ain't no fucking Mississippi boy either. This is a joke. You got a non-Mississippi reporter in league with a non-Mississippi racist, a phony, fraudulent racist. You don't have to be that smart to see through this. A lot of you, it just ain't that smart, though.
Grew up in kind of suburban New Jersey. Went to college at Rutgers. Actually fought in the Vietnam War. I believe got medals for that.
Hear that? Got medals for that. He's a highly decorated veteran. They're mourning. Make no mistake about it. They are, you know, while I agree with some of the email I'm getting about it, it's sad and pathetic, but make no mistake about it. The Clarion Ledger and the other nigger media here in Mississippi, they are mourning Barrett's demise.
And then came back. He was very pro-Vietnam and came back and then wound up here in Mississippi kind of. I think he saw Mississippi as a hot spot for kind of some of these racial matters and racial issues. So
you too, Jerry. You saw it as a hot spot too, didn't you, Jerry? It's not really individual. This is a big corporation. This is a nigger. You know who I'm talking about, them fucking Jews.
He hasn't been in the news quite as much as he has in the past. And I did come into the news with regard to the Ole Miss, some of the stuff that's been going on at Ole Miss.
I didn't finish one point. You know, I told you, you know, Barrett filed a complaint against Ole Miss first. I filed a complaint afterwards, and my complaint was far superior to his. I'm not a lawyer, but, you know, I regret the fact that the electronic system was not in place back then. And if it were, you could pull it up electronically and look at the complaint I filed against the university. It was far and away, and I know it's going to be hard for a lot of y'all to believe this, but my complaint was better written. It was more sound and rooted in First Amendment law, case law, by a large degree than was Richard Barrett. He threw in a bunch of horseshit. It was totally irrelevant. Had nothing to do with free speech. He was just, you know, he's a dog and pony show. He got there and filed a complaint, went through the motions.
Some of the students were chanting, South will rise again at the end of a particular song, and of course the Ole Miss chancellor doesn't want that anymore, and so there's quite a bit of a stir about that, and Richard came in and had a protest there, and I think the Klan came in and had their protest. And I mentioned Richard.
The Klan. What Klan? There ain't no fucking Klan. You got some clowns, and you've got FBI informants, and you just can't help but wonder who the media and the FBI, who they're going to line up to try to, you know, hoodwink y'all from this point forward. I don't know.
You know, going up there to protest in a recent article I did on my blog.
I don't know, but I do know this. They're going to probably, no doubt, try to recruit somebody.
I remember Richard contacted me after that. Well, thanks for the plug. But that's the way Richard...
Thanks for the plug. Yeah. Sadly, there are a lot of people in the white money movement that court that nigger media just the same way Barrett did. Not precisely the same way, but they go after that nigger media. Not me. I would give them the time of day.
About things. Richard was always happy to, you know, be in the news, kind of, as long as you spelled his name right, you know, he was okay. And people are three-dimensional, and so it's easy to say someone's a white supremacist and kind of see them from a single dimension, but they're not. They're three-dimensional people, and Richard could be kind. And of course, I'm white, you know, so but he could be kind, he could be cordial, he was always happy to take the telephone call. And as a reporter, you like that. You like people who take your telephone calls and are willing to talk to you and willing to share information. So it's very sad. It's very sad, and I hate to see it.
Uh-huh. He really betrays his genuine what the deal is here. That video, if you have any perceptive capabilities, you can watch that video and see it was all a big charade, a big sham. Keep in mind, the media used Barrett as an asset to put stink on white racial politics. So you white people in Mississippi won't stand up and protest a situation where people like Jerry Mitchell, they encourage our white women to spread their legs for fucking niggers. See, I'm against that. Now, I know that's not a very nice way to say it, that a politician, a statesman, a gentleman, someone who was stable, could say it in a better way. But that ain't my way, huh? If you like the other way, go fucking listen to them. All right, dang, I've been going here long enough. I got a bunch of stuff to do today. I had to knock this out. Let's see what else we got. What else you got there, Jimbo? I'm reading another email to see if I want to read it or not. Well, this is, I respect this advice, and again, I they're just saying don't put too, you know, don't bring attention to myself. And I'm not, that's not my motivation here. My motivation is just a natural reaction. And again, you know, the bottom line is I didn't have a lot of emotion toward Richard Barrett. I didn't have a strong position on him. I had an analytical position on him, and that he was basically just a sick puppy. And probably an FBI informant. I don't know that fact certain, but why was the FBI at the scene? I will accept in the remaining few moments of the broadcast here, any FBI agent listening now, if you call in and if you want to dispute that fact, I will accept your phone call, but only your phone call. If you're not an FBI informant, I mean, if you're not an FBI special agent, don't call. I won't take your call. All right, what else, Jimbo? All right, we got a long ways to go. I find it, you know, I can't help but kind of carry with me. I'm going to try to, you know, like I said, I consider myself a gladiator farmer, and most of my attention is in farming. I'm losing interest. I'm losing interest in the effort. Y'all going to have to come around to my way of thinking there, darling, because I'm right. Y'all, you know, what I'm advocating is truly honorable, even though I express it in a profane way. I use profane words to express my honorable ideas. You got that? Can you figure that out? I always knew certain people who, you know, somebody can be total, they don't have to use any profanity, and I consider them to be an incredibly profane person that I don't want to have anything else to do with. Just, you know, you get a feel about somebody. Now, I've gotten a real keen sense of some people in my orbit. Now, I've got a lot better. Y'all really have given... I know who you is now, boy. Just looking around. That's going to do it for now. This is Jim Giles. You're listening to Radio Free Mississippi.
Message 1, line 2, 6:20 p.m., January 13th.
Jim Giles, you motherfucker. Goddamn Dan Morton, the law enforcement community's got your number. We're waiting on your motherfucking ass. Just come on, you little big bad son of a bitch.
End of messages.